Schultz, he scores!
So hello and welcome. We're back with another podcast here. We've got with us Kemi.
Hello.
Hey, and we've got Granny Day, of course.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Are you in Toronto right now?
Me? No, I just got back. My girlfriend and I were down there for the outdoor show. Her job had a booth, and so we spent the weekend there, and we actually managed to go to the Leafs Sharks game on Thursday, which was a lot of fun, despite the fact that they were not successful.
And what's this
the outdoor show takes place indoors?
Yeah, actually, it takes place in a big airplane hangar in March in Toronto. So yeah, it was right. It was good.
And you're going to some sort of alumni game?
Yeah, in Parry Sound this afternoon. It's like they do a series of the games. The roster is always changing. It's like sponsored by Scotiabank. It's the sort of different NHL alumni play different charitable teams. And so the NHL alumni team is playing the OPP team from Parry Sound. And Gary Lehman, Rick Vive, and Mike Rapeldo, he's playing, and Walter Gretzky's coaching. So Laura and I are going to that at 2.
I know the PR guys didn't email you back, but you should just go there and try and interview them anyway.
Oh, yeah, I'm obviously going to try and do that.
All right, well, let's get things started here. So, first off, did the Leafs miss out on Jeff Carter? I don't know, we'll turn to Kemi first.
Boy, what did LA give up for him? The thing about trades like that is, right, is objectively, we can all sit here and say that, you know, we basically have no interest in this trade because, you know, it didn't happen in our division, it didn't happen in our conference. We were probably never in the running, right? So, objectively, Jeff Carter is a considerably better hockey player than Jack Johnson, right? Jeff Carter's a guy who scored 40 before. He probably won't again, but, you know, 30-goal scorer. Fantastic two-way hockey, which a lot of people don't know about Jeff Carter, right? He's pretty underrated on that. And Jack Johnson, I think no matter who you are, you should be looking at that deal and saying, well, hold on a minute. Like, we could have offered more than that. And I think it's fair to say that we missed out. That said, I think, you know, Brian Burke's philosophy about long deals likely extends to trading for them, and I don't think he was ever in on it. So I don't know. He would have been a nice addition to the team. We certainly could use a number one center, although he couldn't play with Kessel because they both shoot a lot. So maybe it was a bad fit.
I was looking at that a little while ago and realizing that, you know, they would need two pucks in order to keep up their current goal totals, both of them. Well, okay, maybe not Carter's. I was looking at this the off season, so I wasn't taking into account this off year for him, sort of. But yeah, I mean, they're each players that are going to get somewhere well over 250 shots a year. You know, probably over 300. And There's just no way that a line puts together that many shots.
Right. I think the only way a Jeff Carter deal for Toronto makes sense is if Mikhail Grabowski is going to win. I think they're both the same kind of player, and Jeff Carter's a little better.
Yeah, I would agree. I really don't know what to do about Grabowski, but I don't know. We've sort of discussed that ad nauseum at this point. I mean, I guess if he's really dragging his heels and, you know, it's getting close to the deadline tomorrow, then I don't know. Do we have to deal him?
I think there's a lot of sort of variables here with Grabowski. I think it depends on who Burke moves at the deadline. If he's a seller, then, you know, keeping Grabowski around might not make as much sense because the team's window is pushed back a little bit further. If he's hanging on to guys and just not bringing anybody in, or if he's only bringing in draft picks and prospects, then I think it makes less sense to keep Grabowski around. But if he's bringing in roster players and the team makes a push for the playoffs and Grabowski's a key part of that, then it makes sense to re-sign him. So I think it's really too early to tell. I don't think we're going to get any sort of resolution until July 1st, as unfortunate as that is. It's just one more thing to sort of stress about, but I really don't think that the situation will resolve itself by Monday.
Well, right, unless he gets traded. And the thing that bugs me right now is, first off, I mean, the Leafs aren't a playoff team, right? Let's not hold on to hope for that anymore. They've already slipped all the way down to 10th, right? In the past, what, 9 games, they've gotten 3 points. And this is just over. This is a dying team with bad goaltending. But the thing is about Mikhail Grabowski is if we get rid of Mikhail Grabowski, I don't see how this team makes the playoffs next year either, right? So it's not even really just about this year's playoff push, right? Without Grabowski, the Leafs are going to go down the middle with Bozak, Connolly, Lombardi, and then maybe Colborn, right? And I know a lot of people were bullish on Colborn early in the season, but he's way below point per game in the AHL now after like 2 months at 2 points per game. So he's really, really tailed off hard. So I'm not sure he's ready to carry the load in the NHL.
Maybe he just misses Joey Crabbe a lot, you know?
Well, I think that's a legitimate worry right now, right? I mean, if he's skating with, and Joey Crabbe isn't a good NHLer, right? But you get guys like Joey Crabbe and Mike Zigomanis who are essentially too good for the AHL but can't play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And if Colborn is skating with those guys and they're lighting up the AHL, you know, is that really representative of Joel Colborn? Maybe not. I don't think he's a bad prospect. I just don't think Joe Colborn is, you know, necessarily a first liner. And you know, it's easy to say this, right? Joe Colborn isn't going to score as much as Mikhail Grabowski, and Joe Colborn's defensive game isn't even in the same, you know, continent as Mikhail Grabowski's. So, you know, if we make that swap, you know, what do the Leafs do next year when they've moved out one of their only players good at driving puck possession and replaced him with essentially a rookie?
Yeah, unless they're bringing in a significant replacement. Yeah, you're right.
They're not. Look, they're the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are not bringing in a significant replacement. Period. Like, they're not doing it, right? They're not going to get Brad Richards. They're not going to get, I mean, Rick Nash plays wing, right? They're not going to get Rick Nash. They're not going to get Ryan Getzlaff. They're not going to get fucking anybody because they're the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know what? Another thing is that, like, people are talking about trading for these marquee name players. They say, well, you know, I mean, we've got prospects to spare. And I'm like, what? No, we don't. We've got one guy who could maybe be a first liner, and that's Kadri. I mean, after that, I mean, Colborn is a, you know, maybe a second, third line tweener, maybe.
I think to be honest, I think with a couple years, I think Colborn could be kind of a first, second line tweener. I think, you know, people thought he was going to be, you know, an 80-point center. Not even close. I think Colborn peaks at, you know, a 60, 61-point season at some point, right? And Kadri, probably the same, but I think I like Kadri more than Colborn. But, yeah, our prospect pool was not deep.
Yeah, no. I mean, and like, there are bodies down there. There are prospects there, but, I mean, they're not going to turn into anything much. I don't have high hopes for the likes of Dale Mitchell.
Nope. No. They're not impact players. And I think, from what I've heard, the sense is that I think a lot of the guys in the locker room right now are waiting for Burke to bring somebody in or to replace somebody or for some sort of help to arrive. And it just doesn't seem, obviously, we know it's not going to happen, but it seems like they're waiting for something to happen, a trade, a shoe to drop. It's been the first sort of year of the last 3 seasons that Burke hasn't made some sort of move in early February or late January. And I think that's, I mean, I'm not a big, you know, narrative guy and stuff in the room. Obviously, winning and goaltending is really what drives, you know, most locker rooms. But I do think there is a sense that it's a young team and the guys are sort of waiting for someone else to fix it. And they're not taking sort of the onus on themselves to do it.
Well, I don't know. I honestly, the move to waive a couple players the other day suggests to me that Burke was clearing the deck for another player to come in, right? He waived 2, brought up 1. That says, I'm going to put myself in a position where I'm ready to make a deal. So it sounds like he's, you know, he definitely hasn't given up on finding a good roster player.
Well, he's trying to, but whether or not he actually can, you know, is another thing. The Twitter rumor right now is, you know, Colby Armstrong could be on the way out, which would be fantastic if true.
I'd trade him for anything.
I'd pretty much take back anything.
Like, yeah. Scott Gomez.
Get the mystery box.
Unless it's a 35-plus, you know, long, huge cap contract, which I don't think Burke's going to trade for anyway, but, like, a guy like Dustin Penner, yeah, great, fine. I don't even care. Just get him and his $3 million salary away from this team. And if he can somehow shed Mike Komisarek, which I don't think is going to happen, I would be amazed at that as well.
Well, you know what? It only takes, I think it's 3 miracles to canonize somebody, and Burke's already traded Lebda, and I mean, if he completed the trifecta of Armstrong and Komisarek, I mean, that's canonization right there.
I mean, to be fair to Burke, right, he also traded Vesa Toskala for someone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Man. And Jason Blake.
And then, of course, there was
that's one deal. I'm not. That's one act. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, all right. I guess we've already. Lately, Jack Johnson's just being defecated on all over the internet. Like, oh man,
it's because he's bad at hockey.
But is he that bad? I looked at his, you know, his possession numbers, and they're not awful.
Possession numbers are consistently the worst in the league. He gets run over by middling competition.
So why does everyone love him so much? I mean, I don't want to try and get inside of Scott Housen's brain for a second because I think it's terrifying. But what does Scott Housen see in Jack Johnson?
Scott Housen, bad GM, is probably the Occam's razor's answer to this question. But you know, Jack Johnson's one of these draft pedigree guys, right?
Yeah, second overall.
LA picks him up from Carolina. Yeah, right. He went like second or third overall, right? And LA picks him up from Carolina for what, like Tim Gleason during one of Carolina's, you know, miracle playoff runs. And everybody says, oh, LA, you know, got this fantastic deal, right? And they bring in Jack Johnson and they play him against hard comp in his first year in LA and he gets run over. So in his second year, they play him against, you know, kind of middling comp and he gets run over. So they play him against bad competition and he gets run over. He's a big body power play specialist. I think one of his coaches in Michigan said, it was Dean Lombardi who said, this is the guy, you know, the worst hockey player I've ever seen, talking about his time in Michigan. Right? Dean Lombardi said, you know, this is a guy who has, you know, physical tools and can run around on, you know, college players, but in the NHL, they just wanted him to make a good first pass and not be out of position. He's really, I mean, he's you know, draft pedigree, and I don't, you know, I don't think LA gave up anything at all to get Jeff Carter.
And now he's going to the Central Division, which is probably the toughest division in the whole NHL, especially for a guy who has terrible possession numbers. Does Scott Housen know where his team is playing, what they need? I just don't understand it. And
no,
then they wave Grant Clitsam the next day, who I wonder if Burke will put a call in on. Probably not, because we're deep at defense. And also, you know, we're not as close to the bottom. I think Montreal maybe picks him up or something like that. But I just don't understand the logic behind that. I know you needed to get rid of Carter, and LA was made sense as a destination, but there are other guys on that roster or in the prospect pool that I would have taken.
I agree with you. I don't understand how Housen makes that deal with LA and doesn't at least get Jonathan Bernier, right? I mean, Columbus's team wasn't really that bad. Columbus's downfall was Steve Mason. Not that should sound familiar about any other team that we cheer for.
Yeah, no. Never heard of this before.
But Steve Mason is the problem with that team, right? I mean, Jeff Carter was putting up, you know, was on pace to put up about 30 goals if he didn't get hurt. You know, Rick Nash is Rick Nash. Columbus's defense is actually pretty good pre Clitsam for Johnson.
I thought they were a bubble team. I thought, you know, that was ninth, tenth, maybe. You know, and I was so happy for them. Oh, poor Columbus, you know, years of misery. And finally, you know, someone's bothered to care enough about this team to sign a couple free agents. And of course, straight for Jeff Carter. And I thought, oh, good for them, you know, getting out of the hole.
So, reminder, they've made the playoffs more recently than we have.
Yeah. And so we can't like them too much. But so Scott Housen has turned, you know, Jakub Voracek and Sean Couturier into Jack Johnson and a mid to late first round pick. Just as a recap.
And that's, I mean, and that's just awful, right? I mean, it's just completely, you know, completely terrible. They bring in some good guys and nothing, you know, they bring in a power play quarterback in Wisniewski, who I think you overpaid for that, but to get him in Columbus, you probably had to, right? You bring in Jeff Carter to play with Rick Nash, right? And it doesn't work because they're both shooters, which is what we all predicted before the season started. But that's fine because Columbus isn't so stacked with offensive talent that they can't play those guys in different lines, right? And then you get bad goaltending, and you immediately blow it all up and trade away, you know, the things you just bought for pennies on the dollar. It's just an absolute reactionary move that makes no sense. I think he just crippled Columbus for another 5 years easily.
Yeah, and they're drafting in the lottery again this year too, right? So they were going to pick up another solid player. Like it just doesn't make any sense.
And the odd thing is that, like, the teams that seem to be in the running for Nash, right, the teams that are on his list, like, I don't know if they have a whole lot of what they need, which, of course, is goaltending. I mean, what the heck would the Leafs do for that? I mean, the way I see it, the Leafs don't have a whole lot that Columbus really desperately needs. I mean, we could throw them a goaltending prospect, but, like, that's not worth much. I mean, what, we're going to throw in UC Renus or something? Like, what the hell is that worth?
I mean, that's probably better than getting Jack Johnson.
I guess. You know what? More for the cap hit than anything. I mean, like, I know Columbus, you know, is a team that had spent to the cap this year, but I think they were also, okay, this is my guess, I'm speculating, but my guess is that they were expecting to fill some seats after having spent that money, you know? And I kind of wonder if they're facing some sort of internal budget issues now that, you know, things are just going to hell in a handbag.
It's brutal, but as Cammy said, you know, they made the playoffs more recently than us, so I'm not going to feel too bad for them. I think that it just seems like there's a group of GMs in the NHL, you know, and Burke is included in this, that just seems to have a blind spot for goaltending and how not even just stellar goaltending, just league average, better than replacement level goaltending. It seems that so many GMs just fail to grasp the importance of it. And whether or not it can be created, which is, you look at Phoenix and what Dave Tippett's done with Mike Smith, and it makes you believe that, you know, maybe it can. But just the teams that have had an opportunity, again, like Columbus could have said, you know, we want Steve Bernier in this deal, and haven't done it.
Jonathan Bernier.
Or sorry,
they want Steve Bernier.
Steve Bernier is terrible.
One thing I thought about recently is that, you know, I mean, the Ottawa Senators, how did Anderson hurt himself? Some hand injury at home. I think there's
masturbation. He was cooking dinner after the Washington game and cut his pinky.
I thought there was just masturbation jokes waiting to be made about that, but anyway,
knives generally, no.
Well, I mean, to each his own. Murray goes out not long after and snatches up some goaltending help, or at least, you know, another prospect that is gonna push. Who the heck is their backup right now?
Ald.
Ald, right.
Well, they have Ald, but they called up Lehner from Binghamton.
He'll slot in behind Anderson on the depth chart.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, Murray sees, we're a little weak in goal. Snap. Goes out and gets something, right? I mean, the Senators are in somewhat of a different position than the Leafs are in that they look like more of a lock at this point, tragically, to make the playoffs.
They're in a different position in that their GM has not paid high prices for things and has sort of intelligently filled their holes in the roster. And then, you know, as soon as their goaltender goes down, he went out and got another one.
See, that's the thing for me. Like, I look at Burke and I think, why haven't you addressed goaltending this quickly?
Yep.
Think I better follow you around. You might need me more than you think you will. Come on, let me follow you.
Well, I think, this is sort of where a lot of we lauded the deal, you know, to get rid of Lebda and bring in and Franzen, but you bring in Matthew Lombardi, and that kills a lot of your cap flexibility, right? All of a sudden, you're paying, what does he make, like $4.5 million?
No,
the thing about like a Matthew Lombardi is that you know, I don't really think the Leafs are that capped out. I think that worry is overstated. I think that if Burke needs to make a move, you know, we're more than willing to bury some of these guys in the minors or trade them for pennies on the dollar, right? I think, you know, like Tim Connolly as a, you know, he's only got 1 year left on his deal, right? Lombardi has, what, 1 year left on his deal, right? And these guys don't have NMCs, right? If Columbus says, you know, hey, Rick Nash is available, and Burke says, I want Rick Nash, Burke will make the cap space.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a big deal. The big cap problems I see on this team are Mike Komisarek, who's got like 3 more years at $4.5 million and just can't play hockey at all. You know, that's really probably... I don't like John Michael Lyle's deal either. I think those are probably the two big ones. In fact, I really don't like many of our defensemen's deals.
Well, Carl Granderson really has the only... And Cody Franzen, too, but again, just because it's not a contract we signed. But yeah, Carl Gunnarsson's really the only good value on the back end. You know, Jake Gardiner accepted because of the fact that he's on an ELC. But yeah, it's a bit of a wasteland back there. I mean, you look at teams like Vancouver and Boston and what they're sort of spending on their defense core. And yeah, it makes you a little sad inside that Mike Komisarek is getting paid what he is with a full, you know, or modified NMC or whatever it is. And I don't know if that problem's going to go away. You know, I don't know if he'll be with the Leafs to the end of that contract. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I mean, our defense is just an absolute wasteland of, like, guys who can move the puck but can't play defense. And, you know, we've always heard that these puck-moving defensemen are in high demand, and I'm wondering when Burke, you know, converts our surplus of puck-moving D-men into somebody who can actually, like, limit shots and chances against our goaltending.
Yeah.
Because we don't have anybody who does that besides Carl Gunnarsson.
And you know, for 45 games of the year, Dion Phaneuf might do that. You know, he had a really strong start to the season. He's tailed off since, obviously. But I think part of that to do is having to play with Luke Shen and Keith Ollie, obviously.
Yeah.
That's not helpful. But, yeah, I think, and I don't know, maybe Lyles gets moved. Maybe that contract is tradable, and that's a guy that someone might want to, you know, quarterback their power play in a couple of years or something like that. You know, I'd rather part with Lyles than a guy like Franzen, right, just because I think that being younger and more cost-controlled, and I think he's got a fair bit of upside as well still, you know. But, yeah, like you said, it's just we do seem to have a surplus of these guys who can move the puck, but nobody who can sort of play big minutes. And really, we need Francois Beauchemin back, but that's not going to happen.
So looking back then, I mean, do you regret the Beauchemin deal? Because that's what
no, I don't think you can, because we got Jake Gardner and, you know, Joffrey Leupold, Joffrey Leupold should have been off this team February 3rd, but, you know, whatever, they're keeping him around. But yeah, I think Gardner's worth it for that swap as far as, you know, longevity, but we need a guy like Beauchemin, that type of player.
Maybe the question is, you know, do the Leafs think Luke Shen is that guy, or...
Well, I don't.
Because I'm watching Luke Shen, and you know, last year, you know, it was a bad season, and earlier this year, you know, I was thinking, you know, okay, well, you know, defensive D-men take a long time to come up, but I'm watching Luke Shen skate, and oh boy, it's not pretty out there.
I've been saying this for years, and I don't know, everyone was so hot to defend Luke Shen for a while, but his skating is just awful. I mean...
No, he's super slow.
If his positioning is not perfect, he gets burned.
He actually, we were at the game on Thursday against San Jose. He was really slow. He made one good play where I don't know who was driving to the net, trying to cut out front, and he just, you know, pushed him off the puck and ended up sending him up behind the net. But that was just all positioning, and there was a couple of times where he almost got beat to an icing, and he just kept getting beat to loose pucks, and just yeah, he can't seem to skate. And I know he put on some weight in the off season, so that might have something to do with it. But you know, I've been on this sort of trade Luke Shen bandwagon for a while, but I don't know. Just it gives me pause because I want to see how he plays for someone other than Ron Wilson, because not too many guys like him or that style of play have had success under Ron Wilson so far. So I think I don't know. I just feel like I'd rather give him more time than Wilson more time. But that's, you know, that's just me. Unless you can get something really good for Luke Shen.
Well, here's the thing. Ron Wilson has a group of forwards that struggle at the best of times to recover the puck. And he has, you know, he's had a slew of goaltenders that are just leaky as any sieve. And, you know, you throw a shutdown defender in the middle of that, and, like, what the hell is he going to shut down? Like, the forwards can't keep the puck in the other end, and the goalie can't keep the puck into the back of the net as soon as the puck gets there. So, you know, what the hell was Francois Beauchemin going to do?
But I don't know, is Ron Wilson coaching the wrong system with the type of players he has? What, you know?
You know, for me, talking about Ron Wilson, I think he's, I think it's pretty clear his job's in the line right now. For me with Ron Wilson, right, we can talk about the systems and we can talk about, you know, is he good for young players or bad for young players? And we can, you know, we can each bring up examples, right? We can talk about Luke Shen's, you know, getting worse every year, but Nikolaj Kuhlman had a great year last year. For me, I just think it's pretty clear that Ron Wilson isn't getting the job done, right? Coaches are hired to be fired, and the Leafs are 2-7-1 in their last 10. A month ago, they were literally like a lock for the playoffs, and now, you know, 10 games later, there is no chance this team makes the playoffs, right? You know, book your tee times in April. This team is just absolutely done, and you know, did every single player stop playing at the same time? I don't see how you don't fire Ron Wilson today.
Yeah, well, for me, what really cinched it was the fact that the past two games, you're playing two big games, number one, And you're playing two of the former teams that he's coached, right? You know, last year, the whole kerfuffle about the fact that he put the money up on the board against San Jose, and you know, they got in trouble for that. And I think if the team is really, you know, wants to play for Ron Wilson and he can motivate them, how do you not get up for both of those games? How do you not show up? They didn't show up till the third period in both of them, really. So how do you square that? You know, that's the biggest evidence that, you know, Ron Wilson has lost effectiveness with this team. Sure, he's a good coach. He's done some good things while he's been here, but I just think, yeah, his time is up, and this week and this sort of skid has been a really good example of that.
I don't think I'm quite as down on the Leafs odds of making the playoffs as Kemi, but at this point,
they went from 85% 2.5 weeks ago to under 30% today.
I don't know. I think those percentages are a little bit. I mean, if they win one game, that percentage is probably going to jump by like 10 or 15%.
No, it's probably up about 5 or 6%.
But I think, there's a lot of things that can change. I think we need to be a little bit more positive than Kemi, but I don't think that they're definitely not where they were, you know, before they went on this brutal skid. But they can still finish the month 6-7-1, which is bad, obviously. But, you know, it's not worst-case scenario, and I think that I just think if you fire Wilson and you get maybe a couple of new bodies in, I think that the team, you know, a lot of people have looked at this sort of stuff in posts, and generally speaking, teams do benefit from a coaching change, and I think that, especially with this young group, short term, yeah, and that's all this team needs right now, really, let's be honest. They need to go on a couple of week run, but March doesn't look good from a schedule perspective as well.
Well, exactly, right. March is a difficult month. The Leafs are on a homestand right now and getting run over, right? We just lost to Washington, who's in ninth place, right? There's just no way, right? And if you want to know how desperate it's getting, right, the Leafs are 3 points ahead of Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that.
Right, the Leafs are 5 points ahead of the Islanders, who have a game in hand, right?
Yeah, they just need to win hockey games, and right now they're not doing it. And it's just, they look so great at the start of the month, and then you go to Winnipeg, and the team just falls apart. I don't know what could have possibly happened, you know? Like, and I think that's what you said too, Kemi. It's like, did everyone just start sucking at the complete same time? And I just think that the things that have gone wrong have just been magnified by a lot of the things that Ron Wilson has been saying in the media, and a lack of action sort of on Burke's behalf. I know this is silly, but the guy called a press conference when he had to waive Cole Knorr. The team goes 2-7-1 or whatever it has in one of the most important stretches of the season right before the trade deadline, and he hasn't said a word about it. So it just seems off to me. I don't know. Do you think he should have said something or what? Am I off on that?
I don't really.
You know what? I coach a hockey team too, and one of the things that, you know, one of the things I say to my kids, you know, if they're not skating, you know, I tell them, like, you don't need to tell me that you want to skate. You need to show me and actually skate, right? And so looking at Brian Burke, like, I don't care if he says that, you know, he's upset that the team isn't winning. It's his job to make the team win. You know what I mean? I don't need him to talk about it. I don't need him to tell me about it. I don't need him to say that, you know, trading for players is difficult, right? I know these things. I know that everybody wants to win, right? If you got my dog to be the GM of a hockey team, he wants to win, right? The difficulty is in actually winning.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I guess that's true. But I don't know. It just feels like it's out of character, right? Like, he holds a press conference to sort of bemoan the loss of Cole Knorr, and then, you know, the team sort of shows up or doesn't show up for almost a whole month and nothing, right? So it's just, I guess it's just frustrating to watch, and that so far there's been, you know, zero accountability. Like, it's just been a weird stretch of games, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's I would say it's a weird stretch of games, but it's been sort of the Leafs typical after the lockout, right? When Sundin was still here, there would always be the February or March, like, well, 10 games in the shitter, season over, right? And then when Ron Wilson got here, we did that at the start of the season a couple times instead, and now we're back to, you know, we were in the playoff hunt, so it's February or March, time to lose 10 games in a row. I think if I was Brian Burke, I think you make major changes right now. I think, you know, Armstrong's got to be gone. You know, you need to just clear dead weight and make it clear that, you know, if you're not going to play, if you're not going to help the Toronto Maple Leafs win, then you're not going to be here, right? And I think accountability is a good word, right? We have a lot of dead weight on D, and what do? We re-sign John Michael Lyles, who, you know, post-concussion has been an absolute horror show. I just can't wrap my brain around how bad he's been since he came back. And so, okay, you know, maybe he'll get better, but why would we sign him to an extension now?
Yeah, I feel like the timing of it was really bizarre. He was still injured when they signed it, and then
right. old guy with a head injury. Lock him up for 4 years at market value.
Yeah.
When was the last time this team scored a power goal? Like October?
They're like 1-for-16 in like the past couple weeks. Yeah, over this streak. It's been a long time.
Man.
This is just getting so depressing for anyone who's still listening out there.
Well, exactly. That's my point, right? I mean, and you know, okay, maybe I shouldn't be as down on the Leafs as I am, but look at it this way, right? Our forward core is not nearly as young as people hiding behind the crutch of, you know, youngest team in the league would have you believe, right? Joffrey Lupul is what, 28? He'll be 29, right? Mikhail Grabowski is 28. Clark MacArthur is kind of a little bit younger than those guys. I think he's 25 or 26, right? There's only one player producing points in the Leafs who's younger than 25, and that's Phil Kessel.
Yeah, right. Thank
you. Our offense is old. Our offense's window is probably another year or two.
Excluding Phil Kessel.
Excluding Phil Kessel.
Yeah, but
although
even then,
his window is probably also 2 years, because if the Leafs don't make the playoffs in the next 2 years, I don't see why a 27-year-old Phil Kessel re-signs in Toronto.
Not without a significant pay hike, right?
Yeah, right. I mean,
because that guy is going to get paid as soon as he gets close to the UFA market. So, I mean,
realistically, Phil Kessel is probably gone in 2 years, because I don't see the Toronto Maple Leafs making the playoffs this year, and I don't see it happening next year unless they bring in an actual goaltender. And at that point, right, you've used 4 years of Phil Kessel, and you got to trade him for something rather than hold on to him and, you know, risking him walking as a UFA. So I don't know, man. I don't know where this team goes. I don't know what this team does, but it's not pretty.
Well, I think still, like, last year, you know, everyone sort of, they were, for all intents and purposes, dead in the water, but, you know, they did mount a comeback, and the gap was just too large. And I think that the gap this year is still small enough that, you know, things can look better, and things always, you're not going to pick out too many positives when the team's gone, you know, 2-7-1 over the last start to look at those positives today. But I think that it's not as bad as you're making it out to be, because I know that's your sort of disposition, and it's good to have that sort of, you know, dose of reality, and these are legitimate things that could happen down the road. But I think that, I mean, it's great the trade deadline's coming. Burke is going to do something at the very least, whether it's just cutting off some dead weight, or I don't see how Ron Wilson has his job past Tuesday, but I mean, I think he's going to have it, but just Lord knows, I think that Randy Carlyle is sitting at home getting paid to do nothing right now. Hell, even Dallas Eakins can come up and coach for the rest of the season. I just think that it's just Wilson needs to get out, and I think that sort of this last stretch was the tipping point for that, you know.
Look at it this way. The only times the Leafs have looked like a good hockey team in the past 2 years have been when something hilariously unsustainable happened, right? Reimer came in and gave them like 950 goaltending for a month and a half. And when he tailed off back down to like 915, 920, the Leafs lost a bunch in the last week of the season last year.
Yeah,
right? This year, when the Leafs made a push high up the standings, it was because Phil Kessel and Joffrey Lupul's on-ice shooting percentage was like 30%. The two of them scored like 3 goals a game for a month and a half, right? There's never been a period in Brian Burke's tenure where the Leafs like put together a month or 2 months where they outpossessed other teams and won hockey games without some significant and obvious like statistical outlier.
That's true. But January looked okay from that perspective. I mean, there was a couple of blowout wins, but they were against teams like Tampa. And, you know, and I had some hope. February started off strong after the All-Star break. And then, yeah, it's just, a lot of that has been, yeah, like you said, there were some shooting percentages that were up there. And the goaltending that we were getting from Gustafson obviously wasn't going to last. But I don't know. I have to remain hopeful, because I think that I want to watch the hockey games and I want to have some reason to hope. So I have to keep doing that. But I think that, yeah, it could get really, really ugly for this team if things don't sort of turn around quickly.
All right. So then, let's make the list here. let's just put together a list of things that should be done to improve the situation. Okay, so things are bad. Things don't look like they're going to improve. What the heck is Burke going to do to begin fixing this? Is Ron Wilson's head thing to go? Like,
I think you fire Ron Wilson, not because it'll make a big difference, but just to sort of, you know, start the process and just kind of say, you know, here we are, we're going. The second thing you need to do is you need to absolutely gut our defense. Right, Lyles probably needs to go. I would probably trade Luke Shen for futures at this point. I don't know how you trade Mike Komisarek. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, right? Logistically.
It couldn't. There's no way, because he's got, you know, he can refuse a trade to 10 teams. So I have to imagine he and his agent are smart enough to, you know, name 10 teams with competent GMs or no cap space, and that's pretty much the end of it. Right? He's not going anywhere, and I don't know why he wants to stay, but he apparently does. So that's that. And then I think, you know, you need to start, you know, converting our forward, you know, depth into younger forwards, because these are, you know, these kind of old guys, right? I think, you know, at this point in the season, you start playing Tim Connolly, you know, in just cushy minutes and hope somebody wants to, you know, overpay for him. You know, you can wave Lombardi, you can, you know, maybe turn MacArthur and Lupul into something and just try and start over. But there's not a lot there for the Leafs, I don't think.
Yeah, I think, I agree with most of that. I think, yeah, like you said, you start off by firing Ron Wilson just to sort of start things off, to sort of say, you know, the accountability of this team's not good enough as currently constructed, or as currently being coached. And, yeah, you move what you can at the deadline right now. You know, apparently teams are interested in Colby Armstrong for whatever reason. You see, you know, what you can get for him. Yeah, a guy like Lupul, MacArthur, if anyone wants to take them, I think that the risk of hanging on to those guys to make a playoff push, even if it does get us into the first round, isn't worth it, you know, looking at the long term. And it's something that Burke has said that he wouldn't do, so I remain hopeful that, you know, he's not going to, but I don't know, you never know. And I expected a press conference to be called already and Ron Wilson to be out on his ass, but it hasn't happened yet, so.
John Shannon is saying Burke is not even considering a coaching change, so.
Oh, for the love of God.
Oh, boy. I mean, how can you not even consider it? Well, I guess he doesn't have to say what he's actually considering, so yeah. You know, maybe that's neither here nor there. But yeah, if that's true, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, really? Well, what do you need to see? What I would like to know what Brian Burke would need to see from Ron Wilson to say, all right, enough is enough. What's the breaking point here? I mean, everyone assumes playoffs, but I mean, this team is, you know, as you say, it's in flames. It's going down. Like, the special teams have been a mess for years. Haven't made the playoffs yet. I don't know. How else do you want to evaluate a coach? One of the most difficult things
to do. I just feel like there's coaches out there that are doing more with less. You know, Paul McLean, Florida, you know, they're doing, Phoenix is just doing better with a roster that is worse. And in some cases, you know, Phoenix plays much tougher teams than the Leafs, and they make it work. They have an internal cap. They've turned Mike Smith into a number one goaltender. I just think that I don't know how you can look at the job that Ron Wilson has done with this team, which does have a lot of talent on it. You know, as much as we've slagged it, there are, you know, players on there capable of contributing. I just don't see how he measures up to any of these. Yeah, and like you said, too, the sort of objective, you know, playoffs, games won, special teams, none of it looks good. Like, I don't understand the thought process there.
I mean, Ottawa runs out Sergei Gonchar and Philip Kuba for 23 minutes every night.
Yeah.
And they're in the playoffs. It's not even a joke anymore. Like, you look at Ottawa's roster, and it's fucking horrible top to bottom. And you know what? Like, they've got better prospect depth than we do in a playoff spot.
Yeah, it's a sick, cruel, cruel joke. And I mean, and Craig Anderson's not that good. Like, he's good, but he's not an amazing...
He's league average. I think the thing with Craig Anderson is that he's giving Ottawa, like, league average goaltending, but he plays, like, every night.
Right. Yeah, I don't. Do we think that Reimer would have fared better if they sort of stopped this whole platooning thing and gave him the job, or was it the injury sort of nagging? Like, what is?
I think it's probably a lot of things, right? And I think that the big one is probably that James Reimer isn't a 930 goaltender in the NHL, right?
Well, yeah,
forget 930. All he asks is average.
Well, exactly. And I think James Reimer is a league average goaltender. I think he's probably a 910, 915 kind of guy, but. And again, I'm not a big narrative guy either, but I don't think the concussion helped. And I don't think that, you know, Reimer having come back from concussion, he sat on the bench because Jonas Gustafsson went on a tear in January. And then when that tear was over, right, it was this stupid win and you're in nonsense. And, you know,
yeah.
Reimer would go in and, you know, lose a game despite playing okay. And then, you know, Gustafsson would go in and win a game despite being horrible. And it was just nonsense from the goaltending, you know, decisions. And You know, Jonas Gustafsson turned into what he is, a pumpkin, and now, you know, now here we are, right? We alternate these guys, and they're both crap right now.
Well, going back to January, Reimer wins three straight games in February, two of which were shutouts. I know they played the night before. They go to Winnipeg. Why don't you start Reimer in Winnipeg? That's the one sort of decision I would question there. It's like, he's your number one. This is a big game. They lost 2-1, you know, and I think the goals that Gustafsson gave up were questionable, if I recall correctly. So
that's not a big leap. I don't think anybody, Gustafsson, questionable goals? No way.
Yeah, I think for me, the only questionable decision is continuing to play Gustafsson. Like, I just, anytime you put him in, it's a questionable decision. Like, really? You're still trotting that guy out, eh? Well, I don't know what else to say to that. Like,
yeah, Gustafsson is pretty clearly not the answer. And it's just bizarre that, you know, they continue to go to him. I mean, any will have, you know, a 1 or 2 week period where they, you know, are the best player in the league. It has nothing to do with talent. It says nothing about their future, right? But, you know, okay, great. Jonas Gustafsson had a great January. And you know, by the way, one of the scariest things I've heard all week was before the game last night when Brian Burke was saying that, you know, Jonas Gustafsson kept the Leafs in a playoff hunt because, oh my God, if that means they're keeping this guy around, I don't even know what to think.
Yeah, this saved our season. That's a little crazy.
It's I mean, it's true, right? I mean, okay, yeah, Jonas Gustafsson's run in January when Reimer was down was, you know, the reason that, well, at the start of February anyways, you know, this was a team that could still go to the playoffs, which is probably another unsustainable thing that kept the Leafs looking like a good team. But I'll leave it. I don't get Jonas Gustafsson. He seems like a Vesa Toskala goalie, a goalie that not only is he not great, but he, like, actively makes you worse, right? I mean, he'll tip a puck into the net in overtime. Maybe it's just dumb luck, but, you know, maybe it just happens to him because he's a bad goalie to begin with, and, you know, so the likelihood of these stupid things happening to him goes way up.
Francois Allaire made some really, like, interesting comments earlier in the week. He said that a lot of these goalies are being forced to make a really quick transition because the Leafs are so desperate for goalies, right? They're plucking them from all over the place. And, you know, I mean, he didn't quite put it this way, but he sort of gave the impression that, you know, Burke is handing him these prospects and saying, here, fix these up, you know, so that they're good enough to, like, put in goal in the bigs. And he's like, well, you know, this can take a long time, and, you know, these guys aren't that young either, so, like...
I don't know, we're
trying to rush this. It's a very, like, spot duty kind of job, and it's crumbling.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta go. Sorry to just say that, but... because I'm just super depressed and need to be, you know, probably put on suicide watch after all this. But I think a lot of times people can tend to be, myself included, too optimistic. And Kemi is, yeah, you're making a lot of sense. And these things are all that are true. And when you look, yeah, at the Leafs' deeper numbers, there's really only a couple of guys on the team that drive possession and that have, you know, performance that's sustainable enough moving forward. Like, you know, Phil Kessel's always going to be producing. Guys like Mikhail Grabowski, even Clark MacArthur is somewhat of a proven producer.
I actually like Clark MacArthur. I was thinking about, you know, who you were talking about trading. And yeah, Clark MacArthur's gotten the short end of the stick this year. He sort of, you know, drives play in the right direction, not as dramatically as Grabowski, and puts points on the board. I don't know
why he's never been given a shot up beside Phil Kessel. You know, I know that you know, Joffrey Lupo's done well there, but I think, yeah, a guy like MacArthur on a line with someone like Kessel who's shown that he can be a lot more creative this season, I think you'd see some success there, and I think that he'd help, you know, move the puck in the right direction. But yeah, so I got to go to this alumni game and maybe see if I can convince Rick Vive to lace him up again. But,
thanks guys for coming on.
I hope Ron Wilson doesn't have a job Tuesday morning, but apparently he will. So that's great.
All right. Well,
like how does anyone on that team right now have a sense of accountability? Like, I just don't get it.
Yep. No, I'm with you, man.
Beats me.
Well, all right.
All right. On that note, cheers, guys. Have a good week.
See ya.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Yeah. Bye.